Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Well, we are having Prime Minister David Williams back. Some people questioned whether he was a prime minister or not, and he really is a prime minister. He has his own state that he is running and he's building. Very interesting, and I'm learning a lot through this process. We're having him back this time to talk about some of the topics and some of the questions he didn't quite answer, and he wants to finish answering those. Some listeners had questions and were confused on what makes up a state, so we talked about that. And then we got into the Law of Nations and what that really is and how the United Nations fits into that picture. He covers a lot of subjects on this, and it is a different way of thinking because this isn't how we were brought up. It's not what we are taught in the schools. So it's hard for us to accept that this could be truth. You know, I've had people who are very educated who are into trying to find all different references, and, you know, and they've talked to me and said, well, is what he's saying true? I'm like, well, I think so. He really is a prime minister. The thing is that this is such a hard concept to understand because this isn't what we've been trained at since we were little. But this is the truth when it comes to the Law of Nations and how what laws or what rights we really have and how we fit in. Unfortunately, when this nation was created, the only ones that really got the freedoms were the ones that had declared self-determination and formed the nation. The others, like us, were subjects of the country because we were just transferred from Britain to here. We never had self-determination. We are just now citizens of the United States. Fortunately, when it was first formed, it was created in a way that gave us more freedoms. But what does that mean for us now? Because I'm not sure if we have those freedoms like we thought we had. And what does that mean? And how can we recreate something that is better and it's more evolved and it meets our needs as a society? I think that's the important thing, is learning what we really can do as we go forward so that we can make it better for ourselves in the future. I don't know. I'm just going to keep bringing you people with different ideas, different ways of thinking, and trying to bring the best people I can that can get us out of this box and think of things from different perspectives. So here we go with Prime Minister David Williams. Hi, David. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Sarah?
I'm great, and I'm really glad that you're back. We're going to be talking about some of the questions that we both didn't think that you quite answered, or the list, based on what the listeners were asking and saying, we thought maybe we should review some of these questions a bit more, and then some things that listeners were saying, and then move on to the subject of the Law of Nations and what that means to us. But first, let's talk about one of the things that you believe is the most important thing for us to reiterate or rediscuss, is many people are pushing for the Constitution referendum with the states. What is your opinion on whether this will work or not, and why?
Okay, well, like we were talking about in the last show, and I even said it toward the end of the show, there's probably things that didn't get covered. So I have a list. I went back through the interview last night. I'd already gone through it one time before. So I have a list of certain things here. One of the things that I covered was this continual argument about corporate and a secondary constitution and all that. If you read the writings of all the founders, especially Patrick Henry, he called Article 1, Section 8 the sweeping clause because it says that they have the authority to pass all laws necessary and proper. So all they have to say that it was necessary and proper, and they cannot possibly pass an unconstitutional law. And that includes drafting a new constitution. France has altered its constitution 5 times in the last 180 years. So a government can do all of these things. Now, the question still comes back to, this would be a question of, are the states sovereign or are they suzerains to the federal government? I pulled up, and you put it up on the web, that 1811 case where it says the United States of America is the original grand corporation. I also mentioned 1794 treaty where the United States still had a governor general from Britain appointed to oversee the government here in the U.S. This is the same way Australia runs today. They have a governor general who is above the prime minister. He's the liaison between the king, well, the queen today, and the prime minister of Australia. Because both of them were British colonies. The word colony comes from the word colonize, which means slave or serf.
Is Canada structured like that as well as us, like Australia?
Yes. Okay. The Queen has to sign all the bond issues from the Canadian government, and they're shuffling this around at the top because Canada now has to file its bond issues even after the Queen signs it with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. So under the North American Union, they're shuffling all this around. But these are all it's their business. I told everybody on the website and on the DVDs when I was doing this, the Constitution is a business plan. They're holding office of honor, trust, or profit, and they, the people, not everybody else, they didn't pledge for everybody else. They did it for themselves and their posterity, and they run their business how they run their business. And if that means running a slave plantation, it's still their business.
So would it be, in a sense, the states rising up would be like employees rising up to take over how things are structured, and in the end, they just can't do that unless the owners of the company decide that's what they're going to do?
They are suzerains. When they drafted the Constitution, everything changed because they were not paying their debts, and the kings of France, Holland, Spain, and Great Britain were coming back to take the land. They're like, fine, you can have the land claim, we give it to you, but you're going to pay those debts. They didn't pay the debts. They had to restructure a more powerful central government, just like I said, and it ends up with one guy at the top. Congress only met one day in the year, the first Monday in December. The executive branch ran everything, and I mean everything. And in Article 2, Section 3, it even says that the president has the power to suspend Congress during times of disagreement and send them all home until he deems proper to bring them back. Which is why Patrick Henry said your president will have the powers of a king, and John Quincy Adams in Jubilee of the Constitution said that the president has more than dictatorial powers.
Okay, so when they say that the governments are balanced, we have the different pillars of governments to balance each other out, that's all bogus?
Absolutely. John Quincy Adams said it in there that the powers of the Congress were limited to certain limitations. As all powerful as it was, that they could make all laws necessary, the president had more than dictatorial powers because he could send them home during cases of disagreement. This is the reason you have a bicameral system. In Britain, they say they have a unitarian form of government. The United States does not. It has a bicameral system. What do they have in D.C.? If you got two sides, you always have an argument. You always have a disagreement. And under Lincoln, he suspended Congress, sent them all home, signed Dyea, until he deemed proper to bring him back. I can't find anybody that can show me the document where he actually brought him back. So when they want to really get something done, Sarah, they pass an executive order. And executive orders are not overturnable by Congress.
Okay, when they say that executive orders are not constitutional, that's not true.
No, it's not true. He's the commander-in-chief over the military-industrial complex starting back in 1860 when Lincoln wrote the first executive order called General Order No. 100, Martial Law, the Government of Armies.
Okay, so now if, for example, if President Trump wanted to clean up health care, he could do that overnight by just taking it over.
He could. But we live in a world today, too, where we have another issue that's a real problem, the evolution of technology and especially TV. I love that movie Network from 1987 where he's telling everybody to turn off your TV. He said this is the most powerful force in the world. It can destroy popes, presidents, anyone. So now we have this thing here where this destruction occurs where there's more light that gets shined on things. But the problem is because the people are still ignorant of law and they don't know what the solutions are, they just go into unrest and chaos and civil war or whatever else they do, which is just another mechanism to get them to enforce more regulations and military rule.
Okay, so let's get back to the states not being able to do this, because there's this big push to do this. Will that just be wasted effort then? Because the states, even if they got everybody together to do it, it just wouldn't happen.
It's really not the program. It's like when Kennedy got assassinated. The program is the debt. They have to pay the debt. But they surrendered that sovereignty, like I mentioned in the Doane versus Penhalla case, 1795, all the governors countersigned the power that was requested by Congress, and all private property was in the hands of the state, and all public property in the hands of the Congress. So they gave the power over the state. What does that mean? The states, under the Articles of Confederation, were a loose confederacy of sovereign states. That changed with the Constitution. That's what it was drafted for. It changed because they were not paying the debt. George Washington said, these things cannot go on in this train. What is going to be done with these 13 disunited states? So they had to do it. Now, the proof of this is in this case. This is the Paddleford case. I want to read this real quick because there's no other way to do this without reading it. So give me a second. Just hang on. All right. Now, the principle at the bottom of these propositions is that the states have no power. Oh, by the way, this is 1854, before they even did the Civil War. So these judges know, because it said the judges shall enforce international law. They are subject to the Constitution and subject to international treaties. So the judges know what the law of nation is, and the law of nations is actually mentioned in this case, not at the point I'm reading right now, because that's not relevant at this point. Okay, the states have no power by the exercise of which they can defeat all ends of the government, the general government, or any of those ends. But the states, by the exercise of the taxing power, can take from their inhabitants every cent that the state, the inhabitants can spare, and the state can then live. According to the principle of this decision, therefore, the states have no power to lay any tax on their inhabitants, and if they have no power to tax, it follows that they have no power to enable themselves to keep them safe of their state governments. And without state governments, they have no power to keep themselves alive as states. The principle comes to this. The states, in making the Constitution, intended to give up the power of self-preservation. Intended to give up the power of self-preservation.
Well, okay, so we're in a pickle, if you will. So what are reasonable solutions to deal with the debt and the situation that we're in? Okay, are there any?
Let me mention one more case, just that's a more modern case that backs up what I just read. It's the Diet case, Utah, state of Utah, Diet versus Utah, whatever it was. And in that, they said, the judge actually said that the states are no longer sovereign. They're just closely regulated federal units. But as far as the debt, this is what I mentioned last time about a society running itself into debt for 240 years. But the word debt itself, I mean, the D, the TH, all that, the word deed, dead, deed, and all that, the only reason that they put the word debt in there is the death of the household. It's the death of your society. The B is the ancient symbol for the house.
So just like a business that goes bankrupt, do you almost have to shut it down and start something new?
Well,
the Phoenix.
I don't
come back up from the ashes. I mean, are we that? Are we at the end of our road? Go ahead.
Well, there's no way to pay it anymore. It's just the whole unconscionability of it. Once they did central banking, you can't pay a debt with a debt. And so to pay any debt in today's United States of America or any other debtor nation, because they're all debtor nations under central banking, they're doing a 9-to-1 fraud, which I call a Ponzi Tontine system, which means the person that's going to end up with everything is the one who the musical chairs, whoever's left, gets it all. But you, to introduce new money into this society today, you have to create more debt. You have to give them a bond, then they'll give you more money. Well, if you gave them a bond to pay old bonds and they gave you more money, well, now you owe the debt on the new bond. So how are you going to pay that? Create another bond, get more money, and keep doing this mad cycle. It's not just that I said it was in my points and authorities that it was unconscionable to run a society into debt for 240 years. It's literally shocking to the conscience of the universe to live inside a system where you can't possibly pay the debt. It's impossible.
Well, so at some point we're going to run into a wall, and a lot of people think we're right there. The empire is falling. Now, do you believe that's true? Like, we will fall? Or can they just have it go forever where we are in this massive debt cycle? We can't get the money back that they've stolen. We are owed debt forever to people we shouldn't even owe debt to. I mean, how do we get ourselves out of something like this?
Well, the first thing is understanding that this didn't happen by accident. So when I say republics are the worst form of government, when you have voted for somebody else, you have, it's like voting your stock. When you turn your proxy over to the CEO or the board of directors or whatever, whatever they vote, whatever they do from that point forward, you've already given them your proxy. You have no say-so. None. Until the next election, allegedly, where you think you're going to go vote somebody in or out and there's going to be a change. But they don't let people that are uneducated decide who's going to sit in the most powerful positions in the world. They're not going to do that. And so, like I said about Woodrow Wilson, he said there's a system so organized behind the scenes. Now, one of the things that I had brought up.
Okay, let me stop for a second. When you say there's a system so organized behind the scenes, is this the system you're talking about? The international legal stuff that nobody understands except a few.
That's part of it, but it's also the design of the military-industrial complex and why I'm not railing against it. Understand, like I'm not sitting here complaining about the United States. We have talked about it several times now that human nature is the problem. It's unfortunate in today's world, but that military-industrial complex is going to be built and is going to have to exist. And because everybody's complaining now, like Congress passed regulations that by 2030 they want 20,000 drones over America. Drones, monitoring everything, drones on street corners. Well, the question is, are you going to trust? I mean, people are already complaining in the United States about excessive police force and what human beings do. These are your neighbors that are doing this, these sheriffs and things. So are you going to be more comfortable with a drone on the street that sees somebody snatch a purse and then that drone just takes off flying, knocks him over until somebody comes and picks him off and hauls him away? It's a conundrum. I understand that.
Well, the problem is that they're getting at all the detailed crimes, but they're not taking care of the big crimes that are destroying our country and destroying the world. And so okay, you can take someone down that takes a purse or snatches a purse, but why don't you take someone down that just did mass genocide or that's behind the scenes, you know, making human trafficking okay? It's so out of whack. And yes. And then the people who are putting the surveillance in place, a lot of them are tied to the people doing the massive corruption. So it's like, well, we don't want them watching us. You know, if it's local good people, then okay, well, now, you know, we can all talk about that. But the problem is, who's watching us?
Well, they're not going to violate people's contracts, and they're not going to violate their free will. And in Law of Nations, let me go and talk about this a little bit. In Law of Nations, book number one, there's four books in one book, right? And the first book is on what states are. The second book is on how states operate between each other. The third one is about war, and the fourth one is about peace. In book one, section 25, it says, a nation ought to know itself. Well, this was developed for the U.S., silent weapons for quiet wars. Let's see what else was developed for the U.S. Oh, let's... in here, I have it highlighted. It talks about the Leon TF matrix. Do you see that highlight?
No. What's it say?
Leon TF matrix. This is this 81x81 matrix of input-output data that controls the IRS mainframe. It's a software program. So they told people in these movies and stuff where things are. These things about like taking action offense and taking responsibility, and the people of a state, they create the state so they don't have to take responsibility. And they talk about the existence of how they built the welfare state as a tool against a disgusting public. And so what they see is that the political subunit is going to feed off the docile subunit until they grow strong enough to detach themselves and then devour their parents. And then the people know that they've created this farce. It says so right in. I'm reading. I'm like, I can always read it for word because I've read it so many times.
Make sure you read it for people so that...
I can put this up, but it says right in here that the people know that they have created this farce, but rather than knuckle under and admit it, they'd just rather be a hypocrite, so they don't have to admit it. See, these people study human nature, and they know people so well, everyone's profile. When we were doing what we were doing, the courts and the judges and everybody were extending us so much grace and they were really giving us a lot of secrets. And we never got disrespected by the federal marshals or anyone else.
What do you mean they're giving you a lot of secrets?
Oh, well, one judge told Russell, I mean, we filed in our documents, she's the United States of our world. This was back in 2004. And he got arrested, but I told him he was going to get arrested because he kept acquiescing. You can't say, well, I no longer will communicate with you. This is something we'll get into in just a second, because you ask about the right of self-determination, and you've also asked about diplomatic immunity and what does it gain you. One of the things it gains you out of Law of Nations here in book number four is the right of embassy. I have the right to live wherever I want to live on this planet. I have a right to do business with whatever nation state I want to do business with. Why would I go to some deserted island and all the business is happening in Washington, D.C.? Every nation in the world has an embassy up there in D.C. It's business.
Okay, so the what you get out of self-determination, besides not paying taxes and things like that, you can live wherever you want, go wherever you want. Your passport allows you to go to any country at any time?
No, we have to negotiate that. When you're a new and upcoming state, you have to negotiate some of these things. It's not like you all of a sudden, you're now going to take more responsibility, build your own state. And by the way, the whole tax thing, see, the United States of America, those founders, they quit paying taxes to the king. They started using their pledges, their pledge, to build something new. That's the same thing I do. I would admit, if money-wise, if you want to know the truth, I'd been better off to just to do like everybody else, a lie to the IRS and try to abscond. I'd pay a lot less money than trying to actually build something.
Okay, perfect. That's what I wanted to hear. So you use your money to help build your state and negotiate so that your passports and the people that are, because you have, how many people do you have with your state right now?
Now, I won't get into the numbers, but it's limited. I had to get rid of it. One time, the Dominion Melchizedek had actually appointed 300 ambassadors all in different countries. But I will not deal with duality because duality is a game that is played by the nation states. The Oath of Allegiance to the U.S. actually says that you shall have no other allegiance, no other oath to any foreign state anywhere. That means duality does not exist. In international law, under nationality, anytime you naturalize into another state, it says that once the person goes through the naturalization process before the competent authorities of another jurisdiction, they lose the nationality of origin.
Okay, that makes sense.
Playing this citizenship game, it's subjects. And everybody in the United States, these are the things I'm getting into. Paddleford case, the states intended to give it the right of self-determination. 1913, Federal Reserve Act. All the gold was taken out. They did the Wizard of Oz. That's the Yellow Brick Road, leaving the Fort Knox and going to the Federal Reserve in the Emerald City in London. Then they passed Senate Resolution Number 62, 42, Document Number 42, Resolution 62, Trust Number 62, which is the whole IRS trust. And it says right in there that all property belongs to the state and everyone else has been reduced to mere user. Mere user.
Okay, so what secrets did the judge give you? You started and then you stopped.
That's a good one. Because we had filed as United States of our world and they held it for 7 months, but they completely expunged the record. But I told him, I said, if you don't respond to this, you have an obligation to your brethren, to your brothers around the world, to, if someone sends you notice, it's dishonorable not to acknowledge the notice. I mean, to sit around in silence, and Eva says this in the Paddleford case, to sit around in silence and watch another sell your property binds you to the contract. So you can't be silent. That's a dishonor in international law. And so he finally, though, the prosecutor, Russell wouldn't even talk to him for a while, a long time, actually. And so into this case, the prosecutor files in our paperwork. The judge says, you sure you want to file this in? He said, Your Honor, we can't even get him to talk to us. We got to resolve this matter. We'll do anything just to get him to talk to us. And they take every word so literally. That courtroom is cold. It's contract. It's like a piece of steel. It does not bend. But the judge, yeah. Oh, you'll do anything to have a conversation with him? You're filing this one in? All right, fine. I'll take it. He walks off the bench, sits down in front of me, said, wow, a minute ago I was in Wisconsin and now I'm in something called United States of our world. I don't know how that happened. Do you know how that happened? That's absolutely amazing. I swear if I walked out the back door, I'd be in Wisconsin, but I'm no longer in Wisconsin.
What? So he was saying that he just changed the jurisdiction because the state jurisdiction doesn't relate to land?
It doesn't relate to land. Land produces grass and trees.
Well, yeah. So the judge was saying he could shift between whatever jurisdiction he has right to be in.
Exactly. And they've done this even in the United States. They've actually had Japanese trials in the U.S. where they put up a Japanese flag in the courtroom and they operate under Japanese law for the purpose of that particular case. they did it with the Lockerbie bombing when they bombed that airplane, whatever that thing, because they're like, well, they're not going to get a fair trial in Scotland. So they moved it to the World Court, put up a Scottish flag, and tried it at the World Court under Scottish law. That's how it works. Jurisdiction is created on paper.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, so then let's get into this question.
It's a contract.
Well, let's get into what listeners were saying about confusion on what makes a state then, because land is not a factor, and so states are not made up, but the states have land boundaries, but that's not, how does that work?
That's all on paper too. It's by survey. You can't go to Wisconsin and start pulling up the trees and it goes, oh, yep, made in Wisconsin. So man is the one that creates these boundaries. Man is the one that creates the juridical constructs, and they determine whatever boundaries and the citizens that want to be subject to that boundary or whatever it is. And all of it is still going to be done by contract.
So the state technically can be moved anywhere, and it just is what it is.
Yes, and I mentioned that last time, even in the Law of War desk reference book from the JAG Corps, which all of that is about war, all of it is international law. Every single bit of it is international law. Oh, and I had a document I was going to show you on that. Can't find it at the moment. I'll look around. Because this is out of the JAG Corps manual, but it talks about what makes a state. It also says that there can be disputes over land boundaries, and the two states can still exist. You've got an island just off the coast of the U.S. down there called Hispaniola. Dominican Republic is on one side, Haiti's on the other. I mean, these things, for like I said in one of the first shows, if you grew up in Buckingham Palace and you were trained in international laws, this wouldn't be strange. What I teach, like I said in the last time we talked, this is hard. It's hard because you have an emotional attachment to what you think your paradigm is. But you didn't create your paradigm. Someone created it for you.
And they're doing it on purpose? They're doing it on purpose so that you're ignorant.
Well, let's take a look at it. We've talked about education being the key to this. But they implemented the public school system in the United States of America, right? Do you know how many philosophers in the 1500s and 1600s railed against the public school system in England? Railed against it. The public school system is the nursery of all vices in this society. They railed against it. So I just met with a couple this weekend. They're looking at coming on board and doing what we're doing. And they got a wonder. I mean, I was just so impressed with this family, especially the children. And they're homeschooled. They're publishing books. They're doing, I mean, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, but what about the people who children don't get educated? The public school was set up. Can be argued that it's good for people who wouldn't normally be educated at all.
That is true. And we believe in that. We're doing an education project in Liberia right now. I believe in education. And if it has to be public, that's fine. But there's also an element where, like, even in the universities, and I said this to Dario Bush after I had helped him. He was looking at 60 years in prison. He was a Bolivian national. I went to the Bolivian embassy. I sat down with him. And by the way, for anybody that hasn't seen it, just go look up David. Visigoth Radio interviews David Williams. It's 30 minutes long. I talk about that entire process. And even there, the U.S., this was being done by the state of Missouri. He was being set up. It was obvious. But Bolivia didn't really know what to do about it. Now, they didn't really have to do anything about it. All they had to do is shine the light, because this was an international light. The U.S. stepped in, remanded it into federal court, appointed a special attorney, and got him to admit culpability, but dismissed the case, went to 18 months probation, supervised probation, instead of 60 years in prison. This was the power of international law at work. But it's also about knowing how, it's just about knowing how things operate.
Well,
about land. Oh, I want to get back. I want to mention one thing. This is extremely important to go back one second. Like I said, we need to slow down a minute. One of the things that the judges told Russell, because see, Russell wanted to talk to me when he got out, because I already told him he was going to go in. And then that's when we did the whole thing at the Supreme Court, because this is when I started talking to him. It's during that time I found UN Resolution 2625, the right of self-determination. And I even asked him and Miller back then, where are you people going with this? What are we doing? He said, I don't know. I said, well, that's not an answer for a man like me. I'm here to find a remedy. I want to know where my rights are. I said, let me show you what I found. But once he told me everything the judge said, and I'm going to go back to that thing about the judge saying that. Now, I don't have any proof of this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here, these are the conversations I had with him. I wasn't in the court when he was in the court and when they arrested him. I didn't drive up to Wisconsin or fly up there or anything. You know, he was on his own because I told him, you know, if you keep dishonoring this, you're going to go to prison. And that's been one of the things I've said on my website. The best thing about what I've done, if I had to take any like attaboy, because I don't really care about the accolades, I'm busy, I got work to do. There's a state to build here. There's something new to build on this planet. Anybody that needs plaques and awards and all that, then go, I don't know, go be in Hollywood and get a Golden Globe. I don't care. This is not about, this is about doing something and helping the planet, doing something new. For those people that want out of the matrix, for those that don't, they put it right there in the matrix. Those people that are so inert or so enamored with it, they're going to fight to defend it. Well, let them defend it. Zion did the whole peaceful thing out. That's the way it is. But that judge, literally, some of the things, and I've mentioned this about what happened in Australia just 2 years ago when she put international law in the court and everything changed. And we're going to be putting some of these conversations up now that the YouTube subscribers or whatever. I'm not going to teach this on YouTube, but I'm going to teach the principles and elements of why you need the DVDs and why you need more education. I probably got at least 30,000 hours of study in law, U.S. law and international law. Probably got at least that many hours of study in religion and linguistics. So this is a lifestyle. It became a lifestyle for me, just like the founders of the U.S. Do you know how prolific those writers were? And I have a book around here called Notes on the State of Virginia by Jefferson. They didn't have ballpoint pens. They had to write with a feather and an inkwell. And look at the prolific amount of work these men did. It's unbelievable. People don't even think about it today. Oh, I'm tired. What's on TV? Here's the boring news. Oh, American Idol. See, this is why the elite, like, okay, those people have to be controlled because they're not going to self-govern. So when that out of that court trial, and one of the things that the judges said, I actually asked Russell, so okay, what was the last thing he said? He said, well, he stood up from the table, he picked up my paper, and he looked at me and he said, son, contract with your own and you will be okay. That's a big time secret from a judge.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get back to the question that you did not answer, because
Okay.
I want you to answer this one.
Okay.
If the United States fails, first of all, do you think this empire is going to fail and it or
Yes.
fall? And if it does, what is the best way to come out of the ashes?
Get out of the way while it's burning.
Get out of the way while it's burning, and then.
I mean, they've already put this in movies as well. V for Vendetta, the former United States, State of Civil War, whatever.
Is it going to be violent?
Absolutely.
And
I mean,
when.
okay, wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. In my opinion, my personal opinion, yes.
And when do you see this violence starting to happen?
We're seeing it now.
Well, yeah, we are seeing violence, but is
I
this the
mean, we're
scale of
not.
violence we're going to see, or do you think it's going to be like Iraq or something?
Well, I don't know how many people can actually get off the couch anymore, Sarah. So that may be dependent on just how, you know, enamored they are with the Matrix now and how willing they are on to go with the dead and the military industrial complex and everything else. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, it's obviously that the media is involved. And let's get real about that. I didn't send you this book yet. I told you I was going to send it to you, Economic Solutions, and I highly recommend reading the quotes. The heads of ABC, NBC, CBS, all that stuff, even back in the 50s, they were all members of the CFR. David Rockefeller was thanking them for their involvement in helping them quiet down the masses and silence them while they built their system behind the scenes so that the bright lights weren't shined on them, right?
So this is why they're just doing stupid stuff now. I mean, right now it's just they're talking about nothing. I mean, they're talking about Russia and they're talking, but none of these serious issues about our country are ever talked about.
Look, these people make jokes out of it. I mean, I've looked at the stuff. I look at all their symbology, you know, like a logo or whatever, which is the, you know, oh, they have logos. Oh, that's the logos. That's the word. Everything is symbolic to them. Everything. And when I look at them, when I see a movie, like I'm obviously, remember the 5th of November. That's one of their high days. It's Guy Fawkes Day, Manifest Destiny. They caught him and he didn't blow up Parliament, all of that. The payment date for the United States debt, by the way, another high day, November 5th. Signed in 1782 that they would pay it, November 5th. They do these things. So, What people think is their paradigm and one thing is not really what's going on. I mean, it's like what was it? The Creature from Jekyll Island, when Griffin wrote that, he had a chapter in there called The Mandrake Mechanism. What is that? He's the wizard. Watch what this hand is doing, and don't watch what this hand is doing.
Yeah, it's a magic trick kind of thing. How many people in the news are clueless and think that what they're doing is good? You know what I mean? Because how can they not question the fact that they're not talking about anything important?
I have no clue. I mean, the amount of mental control and programming that's in, and they call it television pro tell a vision programming. It's everything with them. Telephone, the people behind the scenes, telephonician, the phonetics. This stuff has been under power and control for a long time, a very long time. It's just taken them all these years to develop the technology. That's why they call it manifest destiny. Have you ever, you see the YouTube videos you can find now where they just read from teleprompters and every news reporter across the land, the same thing. It looks like a
Yeah.
bunch of parrots saying the same word, same word. You don't have to tell us about high gas
Well, they're
prices.
actors. They're not, they're like, don't question what you're going to do. You're going to be paid to be
No.
an actor.
There's no such thing as true journalism. And this was actually mentioned by John Swinton at the New York Press Club way back in the early 1900s. He said, "What is this about a free press? There's no such thing as a free
There
press in the United States."
are people on YouTube who are trying to be good journalists. There are some.
Oh, I totally love the internet. I totally love what you're doing. I absolutely agree with it, and it is waking people up. But it's just like it said in the Matrix. I mean, Morpheus even told them. In the last 6 months, more minds have woken up than it has in the entire time that we've been trying to get out of this matrix. See, they keep telling everybody it's right there. So it's almost, what did they say? The problem is choice. It is a choice. But that choice is on, okay, you got to deprogram, reprogram. Neo had to unlearn what he knew from the matrix. His first act of learning was he puked. It was upsetting. And you said it in the last interview. I mean, you said it after we got off, and you also said it as an introduction. Because it's not just about cognitive dissonance, it's also about cognitive bias. And everyone has it, including me. I had it. I
Cognitive
have
ease.
the. What's that?
Cognitive ease. You're just,
Yeah.
it's the same thing. I'm sorry, keep going.
Well, I didn't want to believe it either, Sarah, back in 1999. I honestly didn't. I mean, I didn't want to believe it. But that's when I finally started recognizing, wait a minute, they're building concentration camps here. We had the funds, we had the capability, bought a house in St. Kitts, we moved to the Caribbean, I was out of here.
How do
So
you
just like
know? Wait. You say you'll just throw a thing in there, and I gotta elaborate on it. Building
okay.
concentration camps here. You've seen those, and you know they're here. I've heard other alternative media people talk about it, but you know there's concentration camps being built here. And who are
They
they
call them
for?
They call them FEMA camps now. Well, it's going to be for civil unrest. I mean, I think they're already using them. Now, I didn't actually, they say that they got one outside Austin. They say they got one that's like huge up in Alaska. I'm sure people aren't going to want to be there. But they actually had, you can go look it up online. We found this years ago in the National Guard, there was a position called FEMA internment camp specialist.
And do you think
National
do you,
Guard. And they actually designated a military designation for this position. I'm not creating this stuff. I'm not making it up. I'm not sitting here. I don't promote anarchy, by the way. I believe in strong government, and I believe in people following the law. I do. And so here's a conversation that Kula and I just had about this, and she and I both agree. She saw what the judges honored and what they didn't honor, and they did honor the law. But what people are complaining about, Sarah, is not the law. Well, I won't say that they're not some now, but what they're mostly complaining about is abuse of power and not following the law.
Well, okay. So first, let's get into the maxims and principles that relate to the law of nations. Okay. First, who wrote the, since the law of nations is the main document, who wrote the law of nations and did we all agree to it and when?
The law of nations has been the law of nations for millennium. I mean, I found it all the way back to Livy's History of Rome in 385 BC. Now, he was mentioning it from something that happened in 385 or 384. Livy lived around the time of 60 BC or something like that. So he was writing a history of Rome. And it talks about there was a war started over a violation of the law of nations, so ambassadors got killed and shouldn't have gotten, I mean, nothing should have happened to them. Ambassadors are inviolable. I mean, that's the whole principle of the law of nations under the rights of embassy, you know. And this has to do with making, like, kings didn't travel around. You know, they always had envoys because nobody wanted the king to get kidnapped, right? It's been perilous times living on this planet, apparently. I read the history of war, some books this thick or whatever. There's never been a time where there wasn't some war going on here. Unfortunately, you know, just another definition of what human nature is all about. But so Hugo Grotius wrote on the Law of Nations, Wolf, Pufendorf, but the one that has been used the most. No, I keep looking back. I'm looking for stuff. Yes, I have to have my props. This is the Law of Nations, cases, documents, and notes, all out of the United States. And all they are summaries, little bitty summaries, like the Packet Habana, which says international law has always been a part of our law. You go pull up PDFs, like the one I showed you a minute ago. This is a 30-page one, Law of Nations, as national law of the United States. You can go pull up a 100-page or 110-page one called Law of Nations as Constitutional Law of the United States. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. Now, they acknowledge those writers. With the advent of the UN, though, it's all changed. And the reason it's all changed is that in 1947, they appointed the International Law Commission to start codifying international law. And I am totally on board with it, and I totally agree with it. What that means is Law of Nations is just general principles, but they're not actually signing on to it. They're just mentioning it in their constitutions or whatever, that this is what they follow. And so what happens over time, just like with the King of France recognizing the United States of America and the King of Great Britain getting very upset about them, it was like, you can't recognize my colonists. They're trying to usurp my land. This is my land. Oh, by the way, those founding fathers, they didn't own land. The king owned all the land, and he didn't agree to give it up to them so that they had sovereign rights over that land for 9 years.
And is that where most of the debt is coming from?
Yes. Well, they borrowed money to fight the war. 18 million torno from France, Holland, and Spain, the gold, whatever it was. It was something like $4 billion today that they borrowed. So they put the nation state in debt to begin with, their state, the USA. And Adams even said later on, you can destroy a nation one of two ways, either by the sword or by debt. I went, great, you people did both. No wonder you're destroyed.
Okay. So
what did I miss here?
The United States, do we follow the Law of Nations that the United or the Law of Nations?
First,
go ahead.
I'm just going back to the United States of America real quick. It is my first case precedent on land. And I mean, I've done the reading on it. The 1916 documents that came out of the International Institute for American Institute for International Law, James Brown Scott, all of these international jurists who've written on this, America became the model. But they didn't own land. United States of America existed for 9 years and didn't own land.
Mm-hmm. People don't realize that.
No. Well, you have to. You actually got to sit down for a change, turn everything off, get quiet, and start thinking for a minute. You know, and this is the difference. This is the problem with the public school system, by the way. They teach subjective thinking. Everything is subjective. We have the theory of relativity. It's relative. It's all about what your little opinion is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work that way in court. I told you, it's like a piece of steel. It's cold. And they execute judgment, you know. Now, if we go to that, we'll talk about, like, okay, I'm saying that the International Law Commission is now appointed, and they're codifying international law. Why? So that way they got black ink, bold white paper, and blue signatures that say, yep, that state agrees, this state agrees, this state agrees, this state agrees. No more arguing over customary international law.
Okay, so well, does the United States agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, do we follow it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now why are we allowed to go into all these countries and all the crazy things the CIA is doing and all that stuff?
Article 24 in the UN Charter.
Okay, what does that say?
It's the Security Council, all the states, all the other nations have given their proxy for the Security Council to maintain peace globally.
So the CIA is supposed to be maintaining peace, but now that when they're interacting in extreme corruption, now that isn't allowed. Is that correct?
Well, we go back to those things about the problem being choice. And understand, I mean, those people in the CIA, they're just human beings too. So what's their problem? I mean, you know, they really programmed these guys. And they even put it in, the movie. What was that movie? Mission Impossible 3, where the guy said, "Believe me, sir, I will bleed my blood red all over that flag just to ensure that the stripes stay red."
Okay, but okay. So they're people. We have people will do crappy things, but that corruption of the people doing crappy things, and when there's a lot of people doing crappy things, that needs to be cleaned up, and that isn't supported by the United Nations, correct?
Their motto behind everything is order out of chaos. They want order, and even in this is the Leontia Matrix to estimate the impact of global whatever I was talking global investments. So this is in all the schools now. The Matrix is taught in all the schools. If I go back into Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, though, it talks about for the purpose of future peace and world order that these things are being done.
So the evil things that the CIA is doing now, they think that's needed for peace later?
There's part of it I don't understand because I personally, from a moral standpoint, I can't stand it. I hate it. But I'm not here to judge it because people have got to start making better choices. If they were already making better choices, they wouldn't be $20 trillion in debt.
It just doesn't make sense. There's something off to me that there's something off here.
Yeah.
The CIA, human nature, we have evil people, but it's off from what the law of nations says and how they can support that activity in any kind of mass way. It seems there's something off, something wrong.
I would highly recommend, I've never watched but one episode of South Park. I highly recommend, and it was just somebody was at my house that happened to be on by coincidence. It's all about contract. It's episode, season 15, episode 1. It's called The Human Centipede. I don't care what you do. Go find it. Oh, but watch the movie Bedazzled. No one ever reads the contract. This isn't a comedy movie. No one ever reads the contract. So they're basically telling people, especially in that South Park episode, if you don't start reading contract, here's the penalties you're going to suffer for it. And because I won't get into what the whole show was disgusting, and it was disgustingly hilarious, and at the same time, extremely true. And so they're telling people, you better read your contracts. It's being put out in a cartoon, seriously? And so the problem is still choice. And this is my whole thing about the federated state is viewed as a sole person in the eyes of international law. And the doctrine of e pluribus unum says out of many one. You look at that Matrix movie. Morpheus crashes through the wall to save Neo and crashes on top of Smith. And he says, oh, finally the great Morpheus. And he says, and you are a Smith, Agent Smith. And Morpheus says, you all look the same to me. Well, there's e pluribus unum right there. You all look the same to me. You're just an agent in the system. And in the federal code, we've talked about this. You've mentioned it several times. The very first definition in the United States code under Title I, Section 1, is of insane, insane person, and lunatic, which means, well, Chapter 1 tells you how we set up the code for insane persons and lunatics. And under Title 5, Section 552A, Subsection 13, it says that anybody who qualifies for a retirement program of any sort in the United States is federal personnel. So everyone in the United States is federal personnel. Read the contract.
Okay, so what are the most important elements of the Law of Nations, do you believe?
The Offices of Humanity in Book 2, where it says that finally the civilized nations of the world recognize that all men are brethren. When will that happy time come that they start behaving as such? That's the words of Vitale. That's principle number one. And to do for others, even on the nation state level, when the United States does humanitarian aid, we're doing humanitarian aid, that kind of stuff. To do for others what you can do for others without injury to yourself. So and when it talks about the perfection of the individual, the perfection of states, all of them in the Law of Nations are supposed to be working toward that sort of perfection. And then you look around and go, why? But when you read Vital's words, you know why. He says, when is that? They finally recognized all men are brethren. When are they going to start behaving like that? You know, they did the American Declaration on the Rights and Duties of Man. First thing it says that all men are born equal. in dignity and rights, and therefore should conduct themselves as brothers one to another. I looked at the treaty and went, that's great. You guys signed this. You ratified it. Awesome. And then everybody was guilty before the ink got dry. Because not only did they not do it among states, they don't do it in this state either or any of the rest of them. There's prejudice, crime, lying, deceit, robbery, murder, all of it, in all of them. And some are better than others. And let's just be real about it. Japan, the problems that you talk about on your show and other people are talking about that are going on in the United States, this stuff ain't happening in Japan. Those people act completely different. Canada, they act completely different. Different
mindset.
And
why do you think that is?
The programming. Turn off the TV for number one.
So they're much more civil. They treat each other much better. They don't have the issues that we have. So you think it's all television?
Somebody sent me an audio the other day to listen to. It was a song by a guy named Toby Keith about all this military, and his dad was military or whatever. And if you mess with us, we're going to rain hellfire down on you. As a matter of fact, you know, don't mess with us. We'll put a boot up your... That's the American way. And then people sit around and just clap and applaud and clap and applaud as if, oh yeah, that's what we were put here to do.
Well, it's kind of like the Roman Colosseum. So,
yes.
But neither Canada nor Japan has a military. So, or Canada, they might have but not like we do. We're a military-based country, state. So do you think that in combination with television is our issue? Because I think we're a military country. I mean, we're just military based.
Yeah. Read the Oath of Allegiance to the United States. It's all about the military. And if you didn't, people say, well, I didn't ever agree to that oath. It doesn't matter. It's your citizenship contract. Law of Nations says this principle. The children naturally follow the condition of their fathers, naturally, by their own tacit consent. Now, that's the next principle right in there under it. That's Section 212. Section 220 says, once you reach the age of discretion, which I did at age 40, I finally reached the age of discretion at age 40. It says that if you don't find it advantageous to remain within that society for which you were destined by birth, then you're at liberty to quit it. It didn't say complain, and it didn't say secede, and it didn't say fight a war, and it didn't say create acts of sedition and all that kind of stuff. It didn't say any of that. Quit. It said quit. Do something different.
It's like
so that's the principle.
Quitting a company and going to a new company. Okay, so where can people learn more about you? Some people complain that it's so expensive. Without, you know, there are a lot of people that just don't have the money to learn about this stuff. So what do you say to people as far as it being too expensive? And how can, you know, is there a payment plan or anything that you might be thinking of?
We're thinking of that, and we're also thinking about coming out with a first level of information that would be not based on international law, but it would be getoutofthesystem.com and why things are, like what this radio show is, why things are the way. Go much more into depth about these things like the Paddleford case and understanding. Like I'll give you, for instance, let me see if I can find one. I got here one. See, this is what we call the declare document, or at least I called it that. 9 cases of case law. Case law is law in the United States. That's why they call it law, case law. And so, and all the judges were responsible for determining what customary law is in the country. And that has evolved because judges' law always evolved in any society. But this one, these 9 cases here are 9 cases. I didn't research these. I don't take credit for this one. I won't take credit for any of them. We're really uncovering things. We're not doing anything new. Every nation state on this planet exists because of the right of self-determination. This is not new. This is old. You know, the Constitution, UCC, all those stupid non-remedies that people are promoting, that stuff is new, and it doesn't work. This works. But in the United States, here's case number nine. Prosecutors are immune from prosecution for knowingly charging an innocent person for a crime that never occurred.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You think you got some freedom under that one?
So, okay. So you're going to come up with some things that allow people to maybe be able to afford at least some basic information. And mm-hmm. you need to make money on this because this is what you're doing right now, right? I mean, this is this along with some other things, but this is what you're doing.
Sure.
It's like anything else. You need to make money. But in order to share, you're going to try to do some tiered system so some people can get more access and maybe do some payment plans and things because we all realize that education can get expensive if you don't have money. But $1,000 is still less than a university course.
It's also more you're gonna more it's also less than what you're gonna pay to bail yourself out of prison for this kind of stuff.
It unfortunately.
So you know,
Okay.
consider the cost. I mean, we used to say it in business all the time. People say, "Well, I don't have the money to get started in this business. I don't have a, you can take like an MLM program or whatever. I don't have that kind of money. I don't have money to get started." I'm like, "Excuse me, it's $500. Are you kidding me?" I
Well,
mean,
the
I like
problem is with MLMs, you pay $500 and you end up losing your, some of those, I
most
think
of them,
some of
yes.
those are pretty scammy, but.
Yes, they are, and there's tons of them out there. I'm not saying, well, that's not my point. My point is that most people today,
Exactly.
if their tires were bad and they couldn't back and forth to work, they wouldn't be complaining they can't afford it. They would figure out how to get that set of tires if it cost them $1,000. Period. I don't care what happens. So, you know,
But
now
you're
you
going to come out with some basic stuff so that they can at least kind of, it almost needs to be like a two-tiered thing so that the first tier it says, okay, is this information worth, I mean, I want to learn some basic stuff to know whether I want to dive into it even more.
It's probably going to be like $47 a month. We'll go back to doing membership and go back to basics. Because like I said, you know, I got to a point where I wasn't doing the education. I came up with the three keys to freedom. I felt like it was like, okay, this is the next evolution. This is the next level. Let's get out of the muck and mire, not get down there with what you call the trolls on the last program, right? And let's talk about the three keys: taking care of your health, taking care of your finances, and becoming financially independent. Because financial independence is going to be a key to this. Even for me, what am I going to do? You be an old man and have to go back and beg Sam for some benefits because I didn't become financially independent and the state didn't become solvent, the state didn't become effective. That's the reason I do these things. You know, there's books on state effectiveness. So that's the reason why I'm doing humanitarian aid. It's the reason why I don't have it
We
up here.
have to make money. Bottom line, it's the way the world works right now.
Another business that we're just starting. I'm getting ready to rent an office, but just had to do with a legislation change that you know about, that we've talked about. And I just have the contract here in front of me. They're sending it today for me to sign and do the initial deposit on the offices to lease in Greenville, South Carolina, because the first thing I have to do with that business is I have to build a model, and then we will franchise it in or run the model out in all different locations from there. But my best people right now in that business are in Greenville. And so I'm trying to, well, there's still a little bit iffy that I may not rent this place, but whatever. I mean, I'm really trying to set that up as a model, not just for me, because there's other people that need things to do. You know, I mean, you cannot, I just, let's be honest, Sarah, you can't be an employee and do this. What are you going to walk in the door and tell your McDonald's manager that, "Hey, I'm sorry, you can't tell me to do that," and he hands you the mop and says, "Yeah, well, mop the floors, Mr. Sovereign, you're fired." Come on,
Well,
seriously? I mean, back then in those times, and we'll go back to what we were talking about with the founders, they were all businessmen. They were judges, they were lawyers, they were farmers, and all of them were farmers. All of them. I mean, pretty much. I mean, they, you know, you had to farm back then, you had to eat.
it was an agricultural country.
Corporate farming.
Yeah, that was our age.
Corporate farming hadn't hit its, you know, heyday yet, right?
Yeah, we were an agricultural society back then. Okay, so what is the best website again?
Contact me at David at Three Keys to Freedom. You can go get the DVDs there. I mean, we're
That's
gonna
your
continue.
email.
David at threekeystofreedom.com or David at the right of self-determination.com or David or info at deprogrammingseries.com. I just said last time, everything dumps into one general email. So
Okay.
when I get email, there's one, you know, I mean, when you've done this for a long time and you got multiple sites, you got multiple contact points and that kind of thing. You know, other websites that we had done in the past, I probably still have emails for that. Always have. Clean Water was one of them. We actually, I have among our humanitarian aid stuff was designed years and years ago, a gravity flow filter. We tried to get a bunch of them into Haiti when they had the earthquake, actually. That didn't work because it was too efficient. The NGOs didn't want it because it solved their problem and they couldn't get any more money if they solved problems.
Yeah, I that's kind of
Seriously.
stuff. But
But so those are my contact points. How are we
okay.
doing on how are we doing on time?
We are done. We are out of time, so I want to thank you so much for coming, and we will have you back.
Because I'm not I thought I would get done with it today. There's a final nail that I want to put into this. And that final nail is going to be based on, okay, let's just assume And we'll talk about it next time. Let's just assume that what I pulled up here, black ink on white paper, Alford case or whatever, let's just assume I'm wrong. And that the founders are looking 240 years in the future going, aw, isn't they, aren't they cute? Let's set up a government so we can powder the little diapers for them and love them and all that. Let's just assume I'm wrong and that was the program running. I'll get into that next time about let's assume that was what the original intent was and where we are today.
Okay, that'll be good. Thank you so much for stopping by, for joining us. You didn't stop by, for doing this interview.